Welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we're doing exactly that, saying something about the online coaching, online course world, and spiritual industry, because we're all wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva, a former yoga teacher and online business strategist, who slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing those learnings with you here. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences, and offer resources on how you can do business in a bullshit-free way yourself if you are in business. Heads up, as you're listening, I swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today is episode number 8, the 10 signs that you may be in a cult. I found a Medium article that said, hey, here's the top 10 signs you may be in a cult. And fancy that, one of the online business groups that I was in happened to check off every single box on the list. So we are going to talk about that. I'm going to share these signs and read off what the article says and then give direct examples of what I experienced in the online business coaching course world that I was in. Today's is a coffee cast. I'm drinking some pumpkin spice type of coffee. I'm a basic bee. I don't care. And hopefully my cat won't be too loud. Cat is still here. Cat is not going anywhere. His name is Charlie. If you've been following along, a cat adopted me. He straight walked into my house. And you might hear him a bit in this podcast. So today with what I'm talking about, I am not going to be naming who this person was in any way, shape, or form. I'm not saying if it's a man. I'm not saying if it's a woman. I'm not saying if it's a they, them. I am not going to be giving any more information, any hints, nothing. If anyone messages me, I have nothing to say about nothing. And what I'm sharing today here is all that I'll be sharing, which is plenty. This is definitely the most wowie I'm going there and spicy and sharing some of the shit that I've gone through episode that I've released so far, and I'm still only barely scraping the surface. Everything that I'm sharing here today is my own personal opinion. And, you know, of course, yada yada, do your own research, make your own decisions about things. I'm sharing my personal opinion here today. And also, I'm not trained in psychology in any way, shape, or form. I am not a cult expert. I am a lady who found a Medium article and is sharing my thoughts and examples about that article, about culty things, and how, wowie, look at that, it directly matches with my experience in the online business and coaching world. And let's be real, all of that stuff can be very freaking culty. I definitely need to do a whole episode on cult dynamics or bring on a cult expert who can talk about all this and actually, right, give us more information and guidelines and things. But today will be a fabulous starter, and maybe it'll be interesting for you or kind of be eye-opening in some ways, because reading that article was very eye-opening for me. As you're listening, make sure to go over to my Instagram at Why Don't You Say Something and look for the highlight for this episode. So you want to look for number 8, culty signs, and you'll see some visuals of what I'm talking about. You'll see the article linked, the Medium article linked, so you can read through what I'm talking about. And that's where you can see more and definitely chime in and comment on those posts. You want to comment on the posts about this topic and share your thoughts and feelings, your experiences, your opinions there. So number 8 episode, check out my highlights and look also for the posts on this podcast. Now, as we look at what makes up a cult, and maybe you're a spiritual person, or maybe you're an online business, or you're in different self-development groups, and you might think to yourself, well, am I in a cult? Is the thing that I'm a part of culty? I invite you to keep an open mind and just be open to questioning things. Rather than thinking like, am I in a cult? A good question might be, Are there things that just don't feel okay to me? Are there elements of this group or program that don't feel so safe? Or is there some stuff that's just kind of weird and messed up? Or is something really not in balance here? And you know, is there stuff that you might hear today that matches up with what you've been experiencing? Just kind of being open to that. And also, just because one of these elements might be a match for something that you've done or something that you've been a part of, it doesn't mean that that entire thing is a cult. I mean, you very well, you very well definitely could be in a cult. There are a couple really big female coaches and definitely male coaches that are straight up so culty. But I'm saying, as you listen, kind of keep an open mind and know that things are not black and white. The point of today's episode is not like, oh, am I in a cult? Yes or no? Or is this person a cult? Yes or no? But more so, how can you kind of pay attention to these signs of where things could be healthier, where things could be not shitty and creepy, and where things could be more in balance? That's my invitation to you. I have always thought of a cult as absolute, like, basement weirdos, people with their heads shaved, wearing all white, doing weird rituals with weird symbols, which I will share with you later, actually, something about that. But that is not the case with what a cult necessarily looks like anymore. There's a fantastic podcast called A Little Bit Culty, and their podcast shared a meme that was hysterical, and I will share it on the highlight. And it kind of shows, like, hey, what a cult used to look like. And it shows people wearing all white, weird symbols, maybe shaved head, rituals. And okay, that's what a cult used to look like. And then it shows another image of all these girls, like, hanging around Taylor Swift and, like, screaming and excited. And it says, you know, that's what a cult looks like now. And it made me laugh, and I think it's very true that culty things definitely have changed and progressed to look more like that. And lastly, it is such a frickin' mindfuck about how someone gets themselves into a cult, how someone winds up there. They can also be called high demand groups or other things like that, but kind of how did you get involved in something like this? And as you hear my experience today, yeah, it's just like, how the heck did I wind up here? Wait, what is going on? And there's a famous quote, and sorry, I don't remember who it's by at the moment, but it says, no one ever joins a cult, they join a good thing. So they join a group of friends, they join a yoga program, they join a business program, they join a political group or organization, a spiritual group, a church. They join something good, some people doing something good, learning something. And then things progress from there. So a lot of times it happens very slowly over time. And as you hear in the podcast today, what I ended up in was not what I originally joined. That was not how it started, straight up. This was over years and years and years of me slowly going in deeper and also learning more about what was really going on behind the scenes, what was their thinking, what were their practices, what was the group think of everyone in the inner circle. And my experience is that it was very slow and insidious. It kind of slowly chips away at you, this kind of like where you're in something else, you're pointed towards something else, and you really didn't realize it. Now, I haven't actually publicly shared a ton about it, but I was a part of a culty group called One Taste. And this was about 10 years ago. This was in New York City and in San Francisco. And this was straight up absolutely very culty, in my opinion. This has been outed in many different ways. There has been huge podcasts about it. I think the BBC did an entire podcast. Vice News has a episode that just came out about it recently. I haven't seen it yet. I was interviewed by a Bloomberg news person where I shared my experience and stories. And this is not my first party This is not my first cult party, what I'm explaining to you today. And I'm not going to go into the whole one taste thing more, but I just want to share with you that I've had cult experiences and some real shit went down. And when I was a part of this group, what I'm telling you about today in the online business world, I saw these boxes being ticked off. I saw it kind of go down, tick, 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 tick. Ooh, this ain't right. And it started to be like, I can't justify this anymore. And oh my gosh, this is some weird shit. That's how my experience was, because I had already become aware of cult behavior and dynamics. And how the heck did I end up in one again? I mean, come on. If there's one around, I'll probably find it and then try and take it down. But anyways, I am sharing that I did have awareness about these culty tactics, and I kept justifying it or thinking, oh, it's only one or two. And then it became 9 or 10 tactics that I couldn't ignore. So lots to say about cult behavior and experiences and dynamics. So let's now talk about the 10 signs that things are very culty or you might be in a cult. And I will directly share my experience in the online business program that I was in. P.S. If you want to learn more, if you want to connect more on these topics, check out the Patreon that I have. And you get bonus podcast episodes. You get a monthly lesson diving deeper into kind of being aware of these kind of topics and tactics. And we also have a Facebook group where you can chat with other people and chat with me there and be able to process, learn more, connect with people who are figuring out the same kind of stuff that you are. Number one, the leader is the ultimate authority. So that was definitely the vibe in the community that I was a part of, and when I was a student of theirs, when I was working for this person. And quick PS, a lot of times we say, hey, don't use the word community when you're talking about a place that's paid. Community shouldn't be paid, but some of this was students who had paid. Some of this was friends that I had made within that group around that common interest. Some of this was people who were working for that person with me. So in this whole context, I'm using the word community. But anyways, back to our point of number one, that the leader was the ultimate authority. That was the vibe. The teacher was the only go-to authority. They were the person that everyone asked with the feeling of, you know, oh my gosh, I would love to get in front of you or just be able to ask you a question. Like, I hope I get my hand raised at a conference or on the big group Zoom, get my question answered from the master, you know, that kind of thing. And no one else in the group, in the community, was an authority. There wasn't anyone else who was like, wow, this person is great or speaks about this or we're going to have an expert on. No. And if people did speak up or position themselves as an authority, which, by the way, this is very common in online business, what I'm about to share. If people did position themselves as an authority or as a coach or a go-to person on a topic, like if they piped up in the group or in the Facebook group like that, there would definitely be an energy of, you know, thank you, but we don't want other people coaching people in this group, which of course can be understandable, but you know what I mean? There was no other teachers in the community. It was just that person. There also wasn't anyone else brought on as like a guest teacher even ever. There was no one else that we were learning from. It was just that person. Now, there were other coaches that I was a part of, and these were people who had been coached by that person, right? We had been coached by them, learned their framework, learned their coaching methodology, learned NLP from them, learned how to have these, you know, big launches supposedly and things like that. So there were coaches who took the place of that person sometimes and were essentially like mini-me's. They were kind of just, oh, you know, that person isn't there, but I'm an extension of them and they have taught me the goods, so I'm here to share the goods with you a little bit. But again, there was no other authorities in the group, just that person we were supposed to look up to. And on their podcast, there were tons of other people each week, but they were podcast interviews of people who had gone through and done the work of that teacher, used their methodology or their modules, blah, 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 and had success with that teacher's teachings. But again, they were not authorities on anything other than your success worked, pretty much. And another thing that is super creepy, and I will explain this more later, is that this person was also the ultimate authority because, well, they were the only ones who were getting special codes. It turns out they were the only one getting special information from their shaman. Like I said, I'll talk about this, but they claimed to have a special connection with the divine realm, which, okay, we'll get into that. But again, they were the ultimate authority. And a quick note about online business and the coaching world, that person was the only face of the business. And that is actually very, very common in the online business coaching world, is to have really only one face, one authority, because otherwise you think, well, oh shit, if I just bring on a lot of different people, then my business is going to flop. Like, they'll all just go learn from those other people. What kind of business will I have if I'm just highlighting other people? Well, right? Like, that's really common in online business, is to kind of only position yourself, make yourself look like an authority so that people will work with you, and it can get a little culty. I took a training maybe 2 years ago now. It was called the Trauma of Money Training, and it was an amazing program run by an amazing therapist and facilitator. And yo, it was amazing because they had so many different people on as authorities. They had so many different guest teachers on and guest speakers and people talking about different things that I was like, dang, this is a bit refreshing in the industry, because we're really not used to that. I mean, yeah, people might have a guest teacher on here and there, but you know what I mean. They tell you to do this, position yourself as an authority in the industry. Number two, the group suppresses skepticism. I repeat, the group suppresses skepticism. So this was like the group that we were in, this community, and also definitely the Facebook group. So in the community, people just did not speak up to doubt anything. They didn't speak up to question or doubt what was being taught. And why? Because it really wasn't welcomed. Because if they did, it was turned around back on them, and there was like thought distortion or a lot of NLP done to make someone feel like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be saying that. I shouldn't be questioning. We'll get into it another day around like, what is thought distortion? What is NLP, etc. But especially it's kind of mind fucking somebody. Okay. But essentially, the vibe was that criticism or skepticism was forbidden. It wasn't welcomed. And no one would say, oh, you know, hey, are we sure this is like a good idea? Or no one would say, I'm not sure that this is working or not, because it was turned around back on them. They were made to feel like you're a loser, you're a negative thinker kind of thing. And so that's why nobody did it. So it's really interesting too, because nobody ever said you can't question anything here. Nobody ever said you can't critique anything here, but nobody did it. Why, do you ask? Well, because they are mind fucking ya, okay? It's done with, quote, influence and persuasion. So essentially how to maneuver and gently control you or have you think in a certain way where you don't think that's a good idea to question something. Because they use it in their speech, in their language, on their marketing pages, on their Instagram posts, the welcome videos of their courses, in all different kind of ways. They're using this kind of NLP, thought distortion, flip it around on you, ways of thinking that has you feel like, oh, that's not the right thing to do to question in that way. So let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. This is a quick off the cuff. I'm just going to kind of make something up, but essentially have seen something like this a ton of times. The teacher is teaching something on a Zoom and they might say, people who aren't ready for this work might fall into confusion. They might fall into overwhelm in these slides today, in these lessons today. But I know that's not you guys. You guys wouldn't choose to be overwhelmed. You'd choose to take something one step at a time, right? So as you're watching the Zoom that day, you're going to be like, oh no, right, don't be someone who's choosing overwhelm. They're teaching a lesson on launching. And they might say, you know, a lot of people out there who get stuck in fear and who get, you know, stuck into the 3D matrix of what's possible, they might listen to their fear and hold themselves back. They might listen to their fear and not kind of like go big in what they're planning. They might listen to their fear and not, you know, invest. But I know that's not you guys. That's not you guys here today. And you know what? That's not how good entrepreneurs find success. Good entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, God, I'm too good at this, don't find success by staying stuck, staying small, and stuck in fear. End scene. So as you are sitting there listening to that, you're going to suppress those thoughts of fear or staying small or staying stuck. And you kind of don't raise your hand to be like, are we sure about this? Because you're like, hello, they've already taught all around the room that only losers with small minds in the 3D are gonna kind of ask those questions, honey. So those are some examples of how they kind of are doing this mindfuckery to have you not question things or have you not speak up, because they can turn it around and say, well, you suck in your head. So there you go. And amongst my friends and fellow coaches in the group, if somebody did say something like in the huge group text thread we had with all of the like coaches and friends, fellow people like down that rabbit hole, if someone did say something like, hey, I wonder what happened to this thing we were promised, or hey, you know, so-and-so teaches this, but then we're not doing that over on this part. If someone did even begin to, right, that's questioning, that's kind of doubting something, the rest of the crew would always automatically be like, well, I'm sure they do it for a reason. Nobody ever was like, you know, you're right. I wonder if they're keeping their word. Or, you know, you're right. I wonder if this is kind of like an ethical good thing to do. No, my experience was that a lot of people just blindly gave that person the benefit of the doubt and never really questioned anything. And it especially suppresses questioning when you have any little chirp and then the coaches spin it around on you. And it especially suppresses things when if you ask something in your text thread of friends and everyone else sees nothing wrong. Number three, the group delegitimizes former members. People who left or were not a part of the group, the community, who weren't participating anymore, they basically just weren't acknowledged or ever really spoken about. They were just kind of gone. And there was a lot of language, a lot of influence and persuasion, like I was just mentioning, to have people feel like, oh, those people who left, they just couldn't cut it. Or, oh, what a waste to give up on your dreams or to buy into that fear. Ha, huh, we know better. And in a roundabout way, it was shown, told that it was a negative thing if somebody like went and got a job or just decided to not continue. The energy was, oh, you know, they ignored what was possible. They didn't choose their own reality. You know, what a loser. There was never any talk of, oh wow, well I'm sure they're doing what's best for them and we hope they're doing good. Because that, of course, would open up the door for other people to entertain that idea. They don't want anyone not signing up for the next big thing at the next big event and going further breadcrumbing down the course and coaching field. So yeah, they did not really support people who left. They were just kind of, goodbye, so sorry you chose that mindset for yourself. Number four, the group is paranoid about the outside world. Yeah, the leader was definitely very paranoid about the outside world, and I will get into that in a second. But definitely overall, let's start on the lowest level. There was an energy of, what we're teaching here isn't for everyone. Not everyone is ready for this. And a lot of people out in the rest of the world are thinking in a way that's wrong, just really like close-minded, and there's a lot of like fear and people who are kind of like going astray out there kind of vibe. It was definitely taught as if like we're the people who know what's up. We're the people who know what's up because we're choosing to be online business coaches and course creators, I guess. But then it went way up and higher from there, the being paranoid about the outside world. It was not the vibe of, you know, yeah, hey, the world is a wonderful place. And there's so many different people to connect with. There's different professions or things to do. There's different ways to learn and grow. No, it was, we have the secret here of how to live life right by creating an online course and having abundance. And the rest of the world just doesn't get it. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like them. And then it goes up even higher, you guys. Just the levels we're going to go on today, you don't even know. It went up higher where first it was just that energy of like, oh, the outside world, like most people just don't have it right. They don't know what we know. Then during the pandemic, they started sharing about Q, conspiracy theory, fearful stuff around the Rona. And it was not be careful of getting the Rona. It was some wild stuff about be careful about the outside world, like the government, and they are going to release a new strain of the Rona. They meaning like dark energy or whoever is, I don't know, maybe a reptilian in a pizza shop controlling these things. I don't know. But literally, story time, we were on a group coaching call. And mind you, wait a minute here. I had joined a program about online marketing and online business. Okay, I joined something about how to create an online course, and then things creep and they change. And over the years, the next thing you know, you're on a call hearing about how their special shaman said that some dark force energy or something like that was going to be releasing a COVID strain on Halloween specifically to play into the fear and to be careful because this was all controlled and alluding to like chemical warfare and how we all need to be really careful of what's going on out there. And to definitely, this was recommended to get a generator, protect yourself, be ready to go offline because the world is going to not be okay. Oh my God, you guys. So, I mean, yeah, the group was paranoid about the outside world, specifically the leader. And unfortunately, I had friends who decided to not get vaccinated or to not continue to get vaccinated because of what this leader was sharing straight up. It was a lot of wild, wild, wild fear. And I tell you, sitting there on that call, I was like, oh shit. Oh shit. Number five, the group relies on shame cycles. And this is a really interesting one because we were all mindset coaches and doing a ton of mindset work. But there was something with the main leader where everyone was jonesing to be coached by them and to kind of go through these like emotional transformation sessions. And there was definitely some kind of weird shame cycle coaching spiral, like, wow, now I can see clearly. Thanks to you coaching me. There's definitely something like that going on. So for example, what came to my mind in this one was essentially when we're all on the big group Zoom coaching calls or at a conference and you kind of feel stuck. You're like, my business isn't making a ton of money. I didn't have that massive whatever launch, or I did, and now I'm feeling like I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. That whole like entrepreneur feeling stuck is not just floating down the orgasmic Bali lane, whatever that is. And that thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to raise my hand, I'm going to get coaching from the leader. And you're like, yeah, so I've been struggling with this and I just don't know this. And let me tell you, they definitely coach you through your emotions. They definitely kind of like have everybody cry. I have Zoom video of me crying a ton and being coached many, many times, okay? And there's definitely some kind of thing where you're like, ugh, I'm feeling shameful. I'm feeling not where I entirely want to be. So I raise my hand, I get coached by this person, I go through all these emotions, and then wow, I see the light. I see the light, I see how awesome I am, I see what's possible because of your coaching, because I spoke to you. Okay, see that? See that vibe? Something very weird, something very creepy where it's like, now I'm okay now that I spoke with the master. And a quote that I read here along these lines on this group relying on shame cycles, it says, if you need your group in order to feel worthy, loved, or sufficient, you're probably in a cult. So I think that's something that is really happening in business and in business groups, in mindset groups, in spiritual groups, where you're like, I need the group and the community to lift me up. I need them to keep me motivated. I need them to help me feel strong. I need them to help me answer my questions, all that kind of stuff. Definitely some weird kind of vibes in that way going on there. So much reliance on your emotions and your ups and downs and you're going through these cycles, and also how the group either helps you see your blocks, see what you should be shameful of, and or coaches you through them through the other side. Definitely something going on. Let's take a pause in hearing about all of this wackiness and do a little breathing tool. For the next couple of minutes, we can kind of move our awareness into our bodies, rather than thinking and processing all of the information you're hearing or the thoughts that you're thinking. So this is what I've been doing a lot lately, this breathing technique, and I hope you enjoy it. It's from Thich Nhat Hanh, who was a Buddhist teacher, and this is a breathing mindfulness exercise. So you know the gist of how you breathe, and when you breathe in, and you breathe out. Well, you can think to yourself, when you breathe in and when you breathe out, two different thoughts. So when you breathe in, you can think to yourself, I'm connecting with my body. And when you breathe out, you can think to yourself, I'm releasing tension in my body. So when you breathe in, you're thinking to yourself as you fill up, I'm connecting with my body. And when you breathe out, thinking to yourself, I'm releasing tension in my body. So for me, and for a lot of people, it can be hard to connect with your body. We forget about it. Maybe we don't want to do it. You know, it's a lot easier to connect to our phones or to Instagram. So this is a helpful one for me to come back to my body, even just for one breath. So try that for a few breaths here on your own, maybe just two or three breaths, and I'll be back for you in just a minute. I do that one, especially when I breathe out, I'll tend to shift my body or wiggle a bit or relax my jaw or just see where I can bring some softness into my body. This is an easy one you can do standing in line at the grocery store, when you're bored at work, when you're sitting in the bathtub, When you're in your car sitting in traffic, maybe you try this breathing technique and just give one or two breaths, connecting back with yourself. Number 6, the leader is above the law. Now, this one wasn't super strong, I guess. There wasn't anything specifically said. There was definitely the energy of like, beware of the government, because Rona is released by people. So we need to hide inside and be prepared for like the world to collapse and the government to collapse. So there was that. But as far as like being above the law, there was definitely an energy of like, rules are suggestions. The ways of living are a suggestion. That's just a limited thinking reality about how something needs to happen or not happen. There was never any talk of, hey, well, we want to make sure that we're abiding by the law, okay? Hey, you want to make sure that you do this or that in your marketing or in your programs because that's what makes it legal. No, there was never any talk of that. There was never any, hey, you know, thank you to our community. No, there was never any of that. It was all, some people are in small-minded thinking, but we create and choose our own reality. Now, preaching, create and choose your own reality is very different from respecting, understanding, and abiding by the laws, the general vibes and guidelines that our community and government has created. Yeah, no. Number 7, the group uses thought reform methods. So, oh my God, holy crap, this one. Thought reform methods means a lot. It's a lot of different ways to break you down, to have your thinking kind of become their thinking. And it's basically mind fucking you, okay? That's what it means. It means a lot of different things. There's a lot of different tactics, but I'm going to tell you about a few in this one. And many, many, many coaches do this with their clients, with their group programs. Spiritual teachers, course creators do this within their groups. And y'all, they do this on their Instagram marketing, on their freaking Facebook lives, on their Instagram lives. This kind of thought reform, mind messing ya is everywhere. So absolutely my mentor did this, but if there is like one huge thing that I could say, hey, stop and pause and look as far as the people that you're working with, the people that you're learning from, is there thought reform, mind stuff, mind fuckery going on? Because I really bet you a lot of times there is, and it's something to be aware of. So thought reform is basically brainwashing you and slowly breaking down your thinking and breaking down your sense of self through a lot of different ways. One way that this breaking you down can happen, this is something that we did, was through meditation and through hypnosis. And this is not to say that any kind of meditation or hypnosis is bad, but it can be one way that you're way more susceptible to someone else's wild ideas or someone else's thinking, or to changing your thoughts and changing your beliefs. So our mentor would definitely guide us through these meditations, these hypnosises, these thinking and dreaming about your future and your stepping into yourself and all of this stuff. And more extreme examples of that kind of thing could be prayer, like hours and hours of prayer, or through fasting, or doing certain like physical things, like jumping up and down for hours, or through drugs like ayahuasca or combo or acid or who knows what. So one of the elements of this kind of breaking you down of this thought reform can be doing certain things that make you much more susceptible to their thinking. And some of the things we did definitely was hypnosis and meditations and visualizations. And then moving on within the same kind of bracket of the mindfuckery is something called thought terminating cliches. And I was sharing this in the Patreon crew reviewing someone's launch and sharing so many of the thought-terminating cliches that this girl was using in her launch. And I honestly don't think that people know this is bad. I really didn't know that it was bad. But when you hear how I'm sharing it, I think that it'll probably make sense and be eye-opening and be interesting to look at, because a lot of the industry does this and a lot of the self-help industry does this as well. So, okay, what is a thought-terminating cliche? It's a short phrase meant to end discussion, end debate, shut shit down, and end any questioning. So, for example, let's say you are in the church. You are a church member and you have some questions, or something isn't working for you, or you're having a lot of strong emotions. Maybe someone else might say to you, "It's God's will. Whatever's going on with you, you know, it is God's will." And so instead of looking at the facts or questioning something or thinking critically, you kind of go down that rabbit hole and turn it back to yourself of, "Oh, well, it's God's will. So there we go. End of story." Another example that you might see in the self-help movement is something like, you know, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Or, "Is this happening to you or for you?" Which is something that I used to say, unfortunately. So again, let's say you are having a tough time in life. Let's say you're having a tough breakup and someone says to you, "Well, this is happening, you know, for you, not to you." And then you go, "Oh, dang, well, okay." And you don't look at your emotions. You maybe don't look at someone else's behavior. You don't look at what you want to do next. You kind of just take it and you eat it, you know? Now, let me show you some thought-terminating cliches that my guru mentor definitely shared a lot. And I am riffing off of and kind of making up ones. They did not directly say this, but you will see how common this is in the industry. So an example would be thought-terminating cliche up in the stuff I was in is, "You can choose fear or success, but you cannot choose both at the same time. So which one are you choosing?" Let's say you had a rough launch, or you were dealing with something that's really hard, and they say, "Well, you can choose fear or you can choose success. Which one are you choosing right now?" And you're like, okay. Or let's say you're questioning if you should charge $100,000 for, you know, a month of coaching or something. And they say to you, "Well, you can choose success or fear. Which one are you in right now?" Sounds like fear. Ooh. Other examples might be a thought-terminating cliche, a spiritual little quote that you see on Instagram. Something like, "An entrepreneur's job is to be uncomfortable." So when you are moving through some stuff, or something's not working for you, or you are showing up to some webinar for the 30,000th time and it's not working, they might say to you, "An entrepreneur's job is to be uncomfortable." So again, you don't think critically, you don't question stuff, you twirl around in that thought-terminating cliche. And last one that I'll give you as an example is, "Nothing is holding you back from your success, but your beliefs." So maybe you've been trying to build a life coaching business for 3 years. No one's signing up for your discovery calls. No one's signing up. It's not working. And then they tell you, you know, "Well, you need to look at you, because nothing is holding you back from your success, but your beliefs. Where is there a belief here that's not serving you, et cetera, et cetera?" And so again, it stops the person, the guru, the leader, from having to have any accountability, from having to even respond to what you're saying. And it stops you from thinking critically or questioning or having any kind of conversation with them or anyone else about it. So yeah, yikes. Looking back, there was a lot of that with my past mentor, and there's truly a lot of that in programs, with coaches, with teachers, and definitely all over Instagram. Number 8, the group is elitist. So the article says, If your group sees itself as the solution to all the world's problems, you're probably in a cult. So there was definitely an elitist vibe for sure in the group that I was in and from my mentor. That thinking of, you know, we see bigger and we know the way and we know that we don't have to live like everyone else. We don't have to live broke. We don't have to live in poo-poo poverty. Definitely not. We don't have to stay in a 9-to-5. Ew. We don't have to believe these negative emotions or fear or sadness. You know, we know that we can choose to have a life on our own terms and live our wildest dreams. And everyone else is just stuck in some kind of, you know, peasant mentality. And yeah, I mean, that was basically it. It was elitist that this select group of people know what's up. They know how to live life. They know how to have success. They know how to have a massive, successful business. And they know how to go after their own dreams and be happy. And, you know, that's what we're about here. That was definitely the energy. And it wasn't ever really encouraged to think that other people had the answers or that other groups of people or groups of thinking were just as good or better than them. I mean, no, it was just like, we know what's up here. We have the secrets. We have the way to do it. Everyone else is lost and silly. Number 9, there is no financial transparency. Yeah, I mean just that. I had no idea what was going on in that guru's business. I just knew that they were making millions and living the life, that's for sure. But there wasn't any financial transparency about what was really going on in that person's business, which is just pretty common in the online business, coaching, course, spiritual world. I mean, there isn't financial transparency about what has this business done with their money? How much have they like donated or what have they done with it? I mean, I had no idea. I do remember I was trained and on their sales team enrolling people into their program. And I do remember them sharing that that launch had made millions and 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 millions of dollars. And looking back, I'm like, well, were we being paid well? And were the people who were on their coaching teams and coaching staff paid well? I kind of learned behind the scenes that they weren't. Personally, I think I was paid fairly and well for the work that I did. But when I heard about more of their like full-time staff, what they were paid, I was like, are you joking me? The heck are you doing teaching and talking about abundance and wealth? Like, well, I guess that doesn't go both ways in how you pay your people. And I will say I was upset looking back at how much cheap labor that they used, like Filipino VAs. You know, very interesting. So financial transparency, there wasn't any of that going on. And it's a very interesting topic. And here we go, folks. Number 10, buckle up, get yourself a margarita. I have saved the best, most outrageous, most embarrassing for last. Number 10 is the group performs secret rites. And yeah, wowie, did that happen? And honestly, I'm like so embarrassed by this one and I'm still like in shock and like, what the fuck? Like, how is that okay? How is this anything? What? And part of me didn't want to share it, but I also am like, yeah, hell yeah, I do want to share it because I see how wild it is. And I saw how wild it was at the time, and I thought it was fucking ridiculous, but I just hid it, and I was embarrassed about it. But it definitely woke me the F up. So in the article with number 10, it says, if there are secret teachings or ceremonies you didn't discover until after you joined, you're probably in a cult.
And yeah, yeah, you betcha that that's what happened to me. And again, it did not start this way. When someone's like, whoa, why did you go through this thing or do this thing or participate in this thing. And it is not any kind of like huge big deal, not like some Nexium level stuff, but still, it's like, how did you get here? And it did not start that way. You know, I joined a program to learn about marketing. I went to events. I jumped up and down with badges on. I made friends. I grew my business. I eventually learned from this guru about how to become a coach. I came onto their team and I made tons of friends and I did more trainings with them. And then, you know, slowly one day, like this shit drops. And that's how it happened. So when I say this shit, I mean secrets from their shaman. So I told you folks about that. Lots of secrets from the shaman. The shaman said this and that, aliens and timeline jumping stuff. And, you know, I was able to kind of laugh that off because I just thought, you know, well, they're being weird. And honestly, I had been in the Hay House New Age industry for a long time, kind of watching it. So I just thought, haha. Then it got real bad. And that's what I'm going to tell you about next. This was years in, and we had a big group call with our private people, those who were kind of in the inner circle, and it was all my friends. And so for a while, this guru would teach us things like how to connect more with your intuition, or how to feel in your body what felt like a yes or a no answer, which I was down with, which I was very familiar with. And I thought, okay, cool, fine. But then these kind of secret teachings got more and more out there. And one day we had a class on mapping out your next quarter of your business. And it was all grounded in real marketing and real planning. That was all fine and good. Like, hey, how much do you want to make this next quarter? What are you going to offer? What is it going to look like? How many people will you need to enroll?
Then what happened next is the teacher said, you know, how many times do you map something out in your life and then it doesn't come together? How many times do you map something out like this and you don't follow through? And of course, everyone's like, well, yeah, okay, me. And they said, I'm going to lead you through a kind of grounding technique, a manifestation technique, a code kind of clearing thing to clear in you whatever needs to be cleared so that you can actually bring forward this money, this launch you mapped out, things like that. So of course we're like, well, great. I mean, hey, awesome. We've just mapped out our dreams and our money. And apparently there's some kind of clearing I need to do in order to get it. And what they did next was bring up some slides of some kind of like shapes. So it looked like triangles and circles with what kind of looked like Egyptian hieroglyphics, but it was not Egyptian hieroglyphics whatsoever, and brought up these kind of shapes and symbols and things on the screen. It had weird words with it, like Tiha Ra Vakalaka, and they said that it was called the Triveka Code. And P.S., as you're listening to this, I'm going to put the image of this over on the highlight for this episode. Number 8, the signs that you're in a culty thing going on, I'm going to put the Triveka code images there for you to check out. Try them, you guys. Okay, so they pulled up these Triveka codes on the screen and we proceeded to be guided through a meditation staring at the screen of this weird ass symbol that made, you know, no sense. It was not in English. This didn't come from nothing I knew about or heard about. After 20 years in spirituality, I was like, what is this? And we also kind of like chanted or said, we said some kind of words that went with it, like Shaha Kira Rata. Yeah. And I did it, but I was like, what in the hell is this? Like, what in the world is this? And, you know, I did it even though I was like, what the hell is this? Because, like, all my good online friends are there. I've been in this community for years. Yeah, they're into some weird stuff, but, like, can I just roll this off? But as I did it and as I saw it, I was like, that is it. That is a freaking shoe dropping because what the heck is this? And also, I thought, you know, well, shit. I mean, this guru works with and supports all these major people in the industry. So maybe I need some kind of code, man. Maybe I need to clear my energy through my kuha rata tata, and I'll take it. I'll try it. I mean, but I'm also going to roll my eyes at it, is how I felt about it. Afterwards, somebody asked the guru, like, hey, what is this from? Was this like Reiki, or where did you learn this? And the person just said, oh, well, I thought it was cool. Some guy taught it to me and like played it off. Why? Because they didn't want to say what it was really, really from. After we got off the call, I was like, what in the world was this? What the fuck was this? And I took an hour to Google this. And I'm telling you, you know, cue the like investigation music. Dun, 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 dun. I was searching high and low for this, and I could not find anything. I could not find anything. Finally, I found one page with some images that literally looked so old and weird and like the deepest corners of the most conspiracy theory website I have ever seen. A website that talked about ascension codes, a website that talked about wizards and warlocks and fallen angels. And I'm gonna read to you folks a bit of just what I found on that page. It says, the process of personal induction and subsequent embedding is a profound process of healing and multidimensional consciousness identity expansion. The process invokes essential Merkaba correction and directly assists in meaningful activation, the higher level Merkabas. The Bi and Triveca codes, universal codes of Emmanuel, facilitate the opportunity to open one's personal fields to the first level of PLCs, primal life currents, Ki Rasha primal light fields, and the Kudaraveka, cosmic codes of Emmanuana. I mean, if you're lost, you're supposed to be lost. Nothing makes sense here, okay? I'm going to read on. It says, extend this process into the primal sound fields, Kundarai, coupled with the Ishaka, Manu, and related codes. These keys are universal navigational tools, enabling the serious and diligent student to ensure that personal ascension efforts will be massively enhanced, focused, and aligned with divine right order. Yeah. And I'm going to read to you the code properties of the Triveca code. Please check out this image on my Instagram stories. The Triveca code is from the Density 5 Dimensions, 13, 14, 15. It is called Hasha. The tone is Ki Rasha Hasha. And the symbol placement is, of course, the left foot bottom. You gotta ground your manifestation. You gotta ground that money into the left foot bottom with the Hasha Rata Triveca codes. You know, that's it, you guys. So can you imagine me getting off this call, Googling this stuff, and being like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I'm telling you, my stomach just flipped and my heart just dropped. I was just like, what am I doing? What am I involved in? What the hell is this? And it's a hard pill to swallow because you're like, well, shit, I've been in this community and I've been a part of this for years and my friends think it's great. And, you know, but stuff really started to unravel at that point. And it was a hell no moment of what in the world am I into? And then this is the thing that was so embarrassing, is during the special secret ceremony, Trahavaka, we drew those triangles and we drew those Egyptian-looking shapes and wrote out, as we were guided to, what we were manifesting, what we were bringing in, what our next launch would look like, and this and that. So imagine this paper on my desk of these symbols and writings of manifestation. I mean, it looked like an unhinged person. And that night, my dad came over to help me fix my computer. And he saw that shit on my desk. And I was just so embarrassed. I hid that paper as quick as I possibly freaking could. And I was just like, what am I doing? I am literally so embarrassed and feel so bad. What am I doing? And I think that's a huge red flag and a huge wake-up call is if you do not want your friends, your close friends, your family, your roommates or something, seeing what you're doing or knowing what you're up to, or you don't want them to know the weird ass shit that you're into or believe in, that is a huge red flag because it shouldn't be something that you want to hide, or it shouldn't be something that you think, oh, the whole world won't understand. Like, they should be. They should be able to, or you should feel comfortable to share, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm learning, it works for me. And hey, not everyone might agree with it, but I'm okay. You shouldn't be hiding some weird spiritual Tribeca code paper under your desk away from your dad, you know, like that is not right. So that was a big red flag there. And of course, the next day, everyone in the community was like, oh my gosh, I felt that so deeply. Oh my gosh, I slept so hard. I slept so soundly. And oh my gosh, I was so thirsty. Was anyone else thirsty? I'm like, no shit, you were thirsty. Everyone's thirsty. Like, okay. And I definitely texted with other friends who were starting to dissent and question things as well. And I was like, are you freaking joking me with this? Like, look at this website. Look at this shit. What is going on? I mean, what is going on? And in the end, I am grateful that this person decided to walk us through this whole thing because what if they hadn't? And that was what they believed in. That's what they were all up to behind the scenes and kind of secretly teaching me through weird ass ways that it leaked out of them. If they hadn't said, hey, I'm gonna walk you through this code, I would not have been like, oh, hell no. I would not have paused. I would not have stepped away. And, yeah, it was just quite the experience. So, folks, there we go. Traha veka kaka to you. I hope that this episode was helpful for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Maybe this helps you to look at and question some kind of things or posts you see online. Maybe it helps you review the kind of tools or language that you use in the way that you want to serve people. And maybe it helps you not feel so freaking bad or shameful for the money you've invested, for the people you've worked with, for the weird codes or things that you may have gotten into, because it can really happen. And I don't think there should be any shame about it. I think there should be more awareness and talking about it and more education. You are not alone in the experiences that you have had. That is what I will say. So again, thank you so much for listening and thank you for being a part of this podcast in any way, shape, or form for supporting or listening. I really do not take it for granted and it has been so freaking cathartic for me to just share my experience and to hear how it lands for you folks. If you want to chat about this more, definitely comment on the post for this podcast episode, number 8, the culty signs. Comment on this post and check out the highlight. If you want to share your experience, talk more all about this, definitely check out the Patreon where you can join our Facebook group and be able to privately chime in and talk about this stuff with other people who are having these conversations and with myself too. Lastly, I just want to say a huge thank you and maybe feel free to DM me how this lands for you, or if you have gone through a culty experience in the coaching or spiritual world and you want me to share that anonymously, I think it would be very wonderful and cathartic for others to hear it as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you.